This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This is part two of healthy marriages versus unhealthy marriages. So this past Tuesday, I was giving you some of the signs of a healthy marriage and some of the signs of an unhealthy marriage, because it's really important to be able to diagnose yourself and to see where you fall in this realm. You may have some patterns of unhealthy relationship, and it doesn't mean that your marriage is over. It is just something to look out for, something to address. And if you have the signs of a happy, healthy marriage, alhamdulillah, that's wonderful. You have to keep working at it. Don't take it for granted and think, oh, we've got it made. We're in love. Nothing's going to affect us. You have to keep working at it. The individuals whose marriages really thrive, those are the ones who continuously put effort, hard work, prioritize. Okay? So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina. Man yahdillahu fala mudillah wa man yudlil fala hadiyalah. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasulul. Amma ba'd. All right. So we're going to talk about having a healthy relationship versus an unhealthy relationship. I actually have 10 signs of unhealthy relationships, and Tuesday I mentioned 5 of them. So I'm going to give you a quick review, and then I'm going to give you the 10 signs of a healthy relationship. So someone's writing in that they've been married, mashallah, for 25 years, and you are putting effort. That's excellent. Mashallah. Keep up the good work. Inshallah, we make it 50 years of happiness. So some of the signs of an unhealthy relationship I mentioned. One was fear. If you are afraid for your safety, that someone's going to attack you, going to have an outburst, or even if you're afraid of an emotional outburst, if you feel like you're walking on eggshells all the time, that's definitely very unhealthy. The second sign of an unhealthy relationship is physical abuse. If there's any kind of physical abuse, could be any kind of unwanted touch. If you're being pushed or shoved or slapped or any form of unwanted touch. Three is verbal and emotional abuse, which this is really rampant, unfortunately, amongst marriages, where this leads to a lot of deep emotional scars. Number four, possessiveness and control. And this is done by both men and women, where they take control over who their spouse interacts with, what they do, where they go, and that can really affect the quality of the marriage. So those are the five characteristics or the five signs of an unhealthy marriage. And so now I'm going to give you the other five to make it 10, inshallah. So number five is a lack of trust and respect. Lack of trust and respect. As soon as you think about, as soon as I mentioned the word lack of trust, what do you think about immediately? You think about infidelity. And sad to say that infidelity is a huge problem in our communities. I know that a lot of people like to just stick their head in the sand and pretend that us Muslims don't face this, but it is a big part of our community, unfortunately. So number one is infidelity. When there is a lack of trust, it really destroys the relationship. I've seen so many couples come in to therapy where they have found their spouse interacting, either having an emotional affair or a physical affair, and it destroys their world. So when there is any form of distrust, or there is a lack of respect, where you may be dealing with each other disrespectfully, whether it's the way you're communicating, the way you're calling each other, the names you're calling out. So this can really erode a relationship. Now, the second part of lack of trust is a person who doesn't keep their promise. I just recently had a young couple come in, and both of them kept talking about there's a lack of trust, lack of trust. I immediately thought that it's infidelity, but what I found out was really it's just a matter of them not keeping each other's, not keeping their promise to one another. So the husband may say, I'm coming over. You know what? I believe we did this last time. I apologize for going into such depth. We did. This is number five. So number six, so basically it's all about not keeping your promises to your spouse. I thought it sounded familiar. Okay, so a little bit of a recap. Number six is secrecy. Secrecy. When there is any form, if you are hiding things from your spouse, so whether that is whether that is your phone, whether that is like you are keeping secrets regarding your spending, regarding your family, regarding what you're doing on your free time, in any kind of secrecy, that will lead to an unhealthy marriage. And I think you really need to be aware of it. Sometimes people are accustomed to living a private life. You've been alone all these years, and it's hard for you to just completely open up. But you have to realize that when you start having some kind of secrecy, where whether it's the password on your phone, or you have secret accounts, or things going on with your I have to give a special salam to my friend Rasha Fahmi from Egypt. Thank you for joining in. So if there's any form of secrecy, you definitely have to address it, because this is extremely unhealthy. Number seven is that if the marriage brings out the worst in you, if it brings out the worst in you, where you are constantly either you're angry, whether you're sad, and you feel that you feel that this marriage is not helping you to thrive. You are just being, you are at your worst when you are in with your spouse. So this is something really important to keep in mind. And then number eight is when it's a source of sadness, anger, and frustration. You know, many people come in for therapy and, you know, and they complain about the fact that their spouse is constantly either making them angry or they're frustrated. You know, I had this one lady tell me, she's like, I never even experienced anger before I got married, but now every single day I'm frustrated, and it's all because of him, because he is pushing all my buttons. Now, we have to be a little bit careful about that, because it's really easy to put the blame on someone else and say that they're the source of, you know, they're the source of the problem, but you have to take ownership of that. The less triggers that you have, the less triggers mainly that you have, the less you will be made angry or sad or frustrated. So with a lot of my clients, what I do is that I help them to deactivate those triggers, to make them realize, okay, this is something I'm really sensitive about, but I'm going to overcome it. I'm going to, not respond. And that way it won't be such a point of tension. So what I find is that, it can be, if your marriage is a source of sadness, anger, and frustration, this is definitely unhealthy, because what it does is that all of this leads to build up stress. And when you have stress, and you're constantly living in that state, it's going to affect everything in your life. It's going to affect your optimism. It will affect your iman. It will affect, if you have kids, how you treat them. That's why it's so important. When I was doing a parenting workshop here in Allen, one of the first things I started talking to the mothers about was having a healthy marriage. You cannot talk about having a good parenting skills if your marriage is falling apart. If you're constantly yelling and screaming and fighting, if that is the atmosphere of the house, then you can't expect for your kids to be healthy. And I apologize. A call came in. We are good to go, inshallah. All right. So the next thing that is the next thing, a sign of an unhealthy marriage, is if there is sarcasm, criticism, and belittling. That is also something that many people complain about when they come into therapy. They talk about the fact that my spouse is constantly criticizing every little thing I do. It's never good enough. It's always that there's always nitpicking going on. So we have to be careful that we are not being critical of our spouse. And if this is constantly going on, we need to address it. The belittling, you don't want to start ignoring or calling names to your spouse, or also you don't want to catch them doing all the things that, the mistakes that they're doing. A lot of times we have the habit of catching our spouse, doing the wrong things. And we do that with our kids too. So when they are making a mistake, we run and we're on top of them and we are saying, you can't do this. This is incorrect. We do that with our spouse as well. But when they are doing the right things, then we don't acknowledge it. So we need to be careful and we need to make sure that we are catching our spouse doing the right things, encouraging that behavior, that we're not constantly belittling them. Because what happens is that when you start criticizing your spouse, they're going to have a very negative association to you. So they come home, let's say when the husband comes home and he feels like he's going to be criticized about about the fact that he didn't do the chores that you had asked him to do, or he didn't pick up the groceries you needed, and then there's going to be a long list of complaints, and you're going to just be upset about the husband he is and the father that he is, then he's just going to have such a negative association. He's going to delay coming home. He's going to like get himself busy with anything, anyone, just so that he doesn't have to deal with that nagging. And the same thing can happen with a wife who has an overly critical husband who is constantly nitpicking at everything that she does. You know, I have a couple that I'm working with, and that is the case where the husband is very overpowering, criticizing how she does things, and that makes her not look forward to him coming home. Actually, some wives say that, you know, they're happy when their husband leaves the house because they have some breathing space. They don't have someone constantly on their case. So we need to be really cautious of that. And if you have this in your marriage, then the sooner you address it, the better. Because if you just allow this to fester and it just simmers, the anger is just going to start building up. Now, number nine, the ninth sign of having an unhealthy marriage is sarcasm. Oh, we did nine. Sarcasm, criticism, and belittling. And number 10 is that they prevent you from growing. Preventing growth. Now, it's so important to feel that you are in a marriage where you have that potential. You have the potential to grow, whether that's growing academically, intellectually, spiritually. You're able to reach your full potential. Because if you feel that someone is preventing you from moving ahead, if someone is causing you to, they're stifling your growth, then you're going to have a lot of built up resentment. You're not going to feel happy about the fact that someone is kind of like that anchor holding you down. So make sure that within your marriage, you don't have any of these signs. So it's really easy, like these 10 signs that I told you about, it's really easy to just think about your spouse and say, oh yeah, they're horrible. They have all these characteristics. But I want you to right now, as I'm talking to you, because you are the one that is listening to this right now, right? And I want you to feel that this is a talk specifically for you. How many of these do you have? Okay, how many of these? Now, someone just said they have all 10. Now, you have all 10. Again, it's like you have to be in a like ICU, right? You have to get emergency, like crisis, emergency. You need to get professional help, because if all of this are going on, then it's just a matter of time, your relationship falling apart or something horrible happening. So you need to see these as symptoms, and you have to kind of classify it. It might be mild, okay? Someone has just one, okay? Alhamdulillah. One is manageable. Few are manageable, right? If you have, let's say, well, and you could have just one. Like, let's say if it's just physical abuse, that one is enough to put it in a crisis state, right? It's not just the number of unhealthy signs, but it's what that sign is. So if you have, let's say, that the infidelity, like that in itself can really erode the marriage. So just look at it and be very, be extremely honest with yourself and see, where do you fall into this? What are you contributing in the marriage as far as this list is concerned? So now that we know what some of the unhealthy signs of marriage are, okay, how do you convince your spouse to get help? Inshallah, I'm going to answer your questions afterwards. After I talk about all the 10 healthy signs and the 10 unhealthy signs, then I will take your questions, inshallah. So healthy relationship. The 10 signs. I'm going to review with you the 5 that I said from Tuesday. Number 1 is that you feel safe in the relationship. You feel physically safe. You don't feel like, you know, you're going to be attacked in any way, and you feel emotionally safe. So even if there's no physical abuse, but you feel that your spouse is constantly attacking you verbally and criticizing what you're saying, then you're not going to feel safe. So feeling safe in the relationship. Number 2, where you have that complete trust and respect. You don't double guess what your spouse is telling you, wondering, I wonder if they're telling the truth. Are they really at the office, or are they up to no good? So you have that, when you have that complete trust and you have that complete respect with one another, then that is a definite sign of a healthy relationship. Number 3 is complete transparency, where both of you feel completely at ease if your spouse is looking at your phone, going through your iPhone, your messages, your emails. There's nothing you're hiding. So there's complete transparency. Number 4, there is a friendship. You have a friendship with your spouse where you're sharing, you're spending time together, you're giving each other compliments, you're having fun. So this is a wonderful sign of having a healthy relationship. And number 5 is that they bring out the best in you. So your spouse is a person that they know you so well, and they encourage you, they bring out the best in you. Because there are some individuals, they will just press all your buttons, and no matter how good you try to be, they will bring out the worst in you. But inshallah, we can have spouses that bring out the best in us, and that we bring out the best in our spouse. So again, when you're listening to this, don't just be pointing the finger at your spouse. Don't just think, oh, I have this horrible spouse and they just bring out the best, they bring out the worst in me. Right? Think about, how do you bring out the best in your spouse? You may be happy about the fact that they bring out the best in you, but what about you? What are you doing? What are you contributing in this relationship? That's going to be critical in making a change, because it's very easy to recognize other people's shortcomings. I see it all the time where people come in, whether you're at a function and people just sit there and criticize what other people are wearing or saying or doing. It's really easy. You see everyone's flaws like in an instant, but your own flaws, you might be blinded to it. You may not even recognize it. I remember one sister telling me, you know, like, I'm perfect. I have nothing to work on, or I've already worked on myself. I don't need to spend time in therapy working on myself. I just need you to change my husband. That's what I need you to do, because I have this all figured out. And it's very interesting when people say that. I think anyone who can claim to be perfect, anyone who thinks they have it all figured out and there's no room for learning, that's a big sign that they're definitely lacking in the area of actually understanding how little they do know. We are always we should always be in a state of constant self-improvement. We should be dedicated to excellence and improving ourselves. And I remember asking a sister, and my husband had this experience as well. Someone had recently gotten married, and he said, you know, would you like some advice? I told the sister, would you like some books that I could recommend? It's like, no, I got this. I know already. We're not going to have any problem. So this, we have to make sure that we're not in that mindset, that we're not going to be reluctant to learning and improving ourselves. So inshallah, we are listening to this with an open heart and an open mind. All right. Now we're going to get into the last five characteristics, signs of a healthy marriage. Number six. So I said the first five. Number six is you allow growth and advancement. This is so critical that you make your spouse feel that they are able to reach their goals and their success. I have individuals who've been married and they will tell me, you know, I gave up my education because of my spouse, or I gave up my work because of my spouse. And, you know, someone may do this initially and they're okay with it, but later on it may build some resentment and they may find themselves held back. So we need to be very careful that we're allowing this sense of the growth and the advancement. I had a couple that came in and, you know, the brother was telling me, it's like, I really don't feel like I can get ahead in my work because my wife doesn't let me get involved with, let's say, any of the meetings or any of the conferences. And this really made him feel like he's being held back. And once we made that adjustment, once I helped her to understand how critical it is to be there for your spouse and let them reach their potential, then he felt that happiness. He felt that, you know what, my wife is allowing me to grow. And that is really critical. That is a beautiful sign of having a healthy marriage. Number seven is encouragement. If there is encouragement in the marriage, whether that's an encouragement to be more practicing, to continue your education, to have to be optimistic, to have a good relationship with the community members, with your family, there is that constant encouragement. That is really critical because, you know, we all get down. We all get challenged. We all have challenges. We all face difficulties in our life, and we need to have our spouse be a source of encouragement, to be that voice of, you know, I believe in you and you can do it. And if we can do that for our spouse, then you'll see the kind of happiness that you bring forth in your marriage. Number eight is emotional support. Emotional support. I brought up Khadija radiallahu anha and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And, you know, they had this amazing friendship. They had this amazing sense of the trust and the respect. And then the emotional support was unsurpassed. You know, just being able to be a wife who is there, who is understanding, who is giving what your spouse needs is so critical. And I really encourage us all to look up to her as a role model and to see how she was. If she was an emotional mess, if she was so caught up in crying and being mad at her husband, oh, why are you in the cave all day? I'm bored and I'm frustrated. I have the kids to take care of. If there was that going on, she could not be there for her spouse. And he wouldn't even come to her, right? She had it together, and that's why I respect her so much as a wife, because she was emotionally stable and she was able to be there. She was present for her husband. And we need to have that. We need to be a source of emotional support. Sisters, we can't just expect the emotional support from our husbands. I know we need it a bit more, but we can't just expect it to be one-sided. If you ever find yourself in your marriage saying, well, that's how I'm not doing anything, he's the one who needs to change, or she's the one who needs to change, if you get to a point where you're starting to feel that way, then we're not going to make progress. I remember I had a couple who came in, and she was very adamant about getting therapy. And we were in Egypt at the time, and she was very adamant about getting therapy. And so she came in, and I think she saw it as, you know, us both being female, we're going to gang up on the husband. That was the plan. That was her plan. And she said, she made a statement like, you know what? I'm not changing. It's all up to him. He's the one who has, and I held her accountable, and I said, you know what? Both of you have to make a change. Both of you have to make the commitment. So the husband was really happy. She wasn't as happy because we didn't gang up on the husband. I like to be really fair in couples therapy because we really have to make sure that we realize both individuals play a part. If your marriage is falling apart, then you had something to do with it. Even if you're, let's say, even if you're the one maybe oppressed or you have some challenges that you're dealing with, somehow you're contributing to the dynamics of this relationship. And so both parties have to change. So we said emotional support. Number 9 is empathy and understanding. We have to show compassion. We have to make our spouse feel understood. One of the biggest complaints is that my spouse doesn't understand me. She doesn't understand what I have to go through. When I go to work and I'm dealing with all these, let's say, clients, or I'm dealing with all these patients, and I have to be on some 10, 12 hours a day, she doesn't get it. She expects me to come home and be on some more and give her so much. And when a person doesn't feel understood, they start drifting away, right? A lot of times the wives may feel like, you know what, he doesn't get it. He doesn't know what it takes from me. When I'm spending so much time at home, I'm not able to, let's say, pursue my career, and I am I'm doing all these responsibilities at the home, and he just doesn't get what that takes. He doesn't appreciate it, right? So when we have that sense of empathy and understanding, and you seek to understand first before you're understood, then this will definitely improve your marriage. It will make it something that both of you will look forward to, and you will both get the support that you need because you are open-minded, you are compassionate, and you're trying to understand one another. And the 10th sign of a healthy marriage is to love for the sake of Allah. You know, my motto is to live and love with a higher purpose. And this is something I emphasize throughout my marriage program. And it is about putting Allah at the forefront of your mind as the priority in your life. And when you do that, then every relationship is a means of pleasing your Creator. And when you have that in your mind, when you are trying to give, then every relationship becomes a source of gaining reward. And that just, it is a paradigm shift. And it's an amazing, it has an amazing impact when you start looking at your marriage in this way, when you feel that, you know what, it's not just about this person, whether, you know, whether they're perfect or not, whether they appreciate me or not, but, you know, I know that this is my test, and I want Allah to be pleased with me, so I'm going to do my share, right? Because a lot of times what happens is when people are angry with one another, they regress, right? And I've done marriage workshops when people are very honest, and I love it because I tell them, you know, what age do you regress to? And I have some people will say, you know, I regress to a teenager because I'm just all about, like, you know, talk to the hand, and I'm not going to, you know, having an attitude and being a little bit maybe rebellious and verbally aggressive. And then there are some people who will really be honest and say, you know what, I regress to a 2-year-old. I have a tantrum. I pout. I cry. I don't stop until, like, I get my way. And this is what happens when we are not living with that mindset, with that consciousness that Allah is watching us. And if I sit there and I regress to a 2-year-old, you know, and I'm in my 20s, 30s, and 40s, then this is definitely, this looks really bad for me. And it like, it damages the relationship so much. So when you think about it and you're like, okay, maybe your gut instinct is to pout and cry and just demand your way or yell and scream, whatever it is you do to get your way, you know, maybe if you start thinking that, you know what? This is a way I can earn major points with Allah. This is a way that I can, you know, I'm going to swallow the anger. I'm going to overcome that immaturity. And I'm going to earn massive reward from my Creator because I am now, whatever I'm about to do, it's really for Allah's sake. That person may not necessarily be deserving of it, but I'm going to do it for his sake. And when you do it, now imagine two individuals doing that. Even if it's one person doing it, you find that the relationship just starts to, you know, it really starts transforming. And if both individuals are giving for the sake of Allah, then you really see a difference. So I really hope that we can be aware of these, of the unhealthy signs of a relationship. And if you are not yet married and you're about to get married, you know, these are red flags that a lot of times people overlook. People ignore the red flags thinking, oh, everything's going to become fine. I had one individual who was crying and fighting and having such emotional drama in her life. This is in the engagement period. They hadn't even gotten married. And I said, look, this is not a good sign. If you have so much trauma and you have so much drama and trauma in your, in this stage, then this is an indication that you're not going to work very well together, because that's the period you should be all, you know, you're joyful and pleasant and overlooking. So if there are issues there, then, you know, and if you see any of these signs, these unhealthy signs, then watch out. Be very, very cautious and, you know, choose carefully, because it can lead to a lot of problems later on in life. And if you do have these healthy signs of a relationship, then keep at it, right? It is just like, you know, maintaining your home. You got to do it on a daily basis. If you ignore it for a few hours, a few days, what happens? It builds up. So on a daily basis, you have to take care of your relationship. You have to make it a priority and make sure that all of these things that are going well now and you're happy in your marriage, you got to keep it up. Because a lot of times people will come in and tell me that, oh, I'm not in love anymore. I'm not happy. And it's just not the same. And I ask them about what they're doing that's different. And they will say, well, they're not doing any of the things that they were doing when they first got married. And so that's why they're not getting the same results. You do the same things and inshallah you will get the same results. But once you cut out all the fun, all the compliments, all the pleasant things that you're doing together, of course the love is going to be gone. Of course there's going to be frustration. So don't be overwhelmed, inshallah, that if it is in a state of crisis, you know, I recommend getting help. I do Skype therapy sessions online at halabanani.com. You can get help professionally. There are many people who could provide services, maybe in your community. But get the help that you need. You know, a lot of times people, if it's a medical problem that they have, they will immediately run to a doctor. Some people are hypochondriacs. It's like, oh no, I feel like, you know, yes, I think I have a tumor. I need to go get a MK. I need to go and get x-rays and they become hypochondriacs. But then when it comes to emotional problems, they just ignore it. They just sweep it under the rug and hope for it to go away. So if you see that you have any issues, definitely try to address it. And I do have, you know, my marriage program, The Five Pillars of Marriage, which I go into extensive detail about how to have a happy marriage. And alhamdulillah, hundreds of people have benefited from it. I hope that you can benefit from it as well. Now I'm going to take some questions. If you have any questions regarding healthy and unhealthy relationships, then I will be happy to answer them, inshallah.
What if you try to be honest with your spouse and he keeps giving you the silent treatment instead of communicating with you?
Okay, so what if the question is, what if you try to communicate with your spouse, but they give you the silent treatment? You know, when one person is not cooperating, it is very challenging. It's very hard to get someone on board when they just don't get it or they're not interested. And a lot of times I have that within the marriage counseling, and I tell them, you know, work on yourself, try to make changes within yourself, try to have the person's needs met, because a lot of times people will say, I've done everything. You know, you may have done everything that you know how to do, but you obviously haven't met your spouse's needs, because I've never met anyone who has all their needs met and they're unhappy. So it's a matter of maybe educating yourself more, because if a person is not on board, it's going to be really hard to pull them in and get them to talk. But as you make changes in yourself, then your spouse responds to you differently, and try to find out what are those needs. Maybe, you know, a lot of times what I find is that maybe some women will be very vigilant in taking care of the house, the kids, the food, but then they talk to their spouse in a very disrespectful manner, and that shuts down. That man will shut down and will not communicate. Or maybe when he communicates, there's yelling. So a lot of times you have to kind of look back and analyze the situation. When was the last time like that he opened up, or when did he used to open up, and how did you react? I can guarantee that most men who shut down, it's because of a reaction that has happened. There is either yelling, screaming, disrespecting. So they're like, I just rather stay quiet. And many of the men tell me, they're like, you know what? I just keep my mouth shut, because whatever I say, you know, is going to get me in trouble. I'm damned if I do, I'm damned if I don't. So really be critical. Like I said, it's so easy to see him as the problem, but also reflect on yourself and see, how do I usually react when he does open up? That may be the problem. Okay. All right. How to give emotional support. Okay. How to give emotional support. You need to be there. You need to make your spouse feel that they're heard, that you understand them, that let's say they're going through a rough time at work, okay? And excuse me, they're going through a rough time at work, and they need that source of like that encouragement. You're there for them. You're telling them that you can do this. Maybe it's because of a loss of a loved one, and you need to be there and make them feel loved. So you basically anticipate the needs, the emotional needs of your spouse. You anticipate it, and then you fulfill it. So that's how you provide emotional support.
What if your husband threatens with a second marriage? Does Islam allow you to divorce your husband if he marries a second wife?
We always have to have these questions, right? So the question is, what if your spouse threatens to get a second wife? Are you allowed to divorce because of that? Okay, let me give a little disclaimer. All right, I just had, and I'll tell you a story to kind of explain this, is that just a few weeks ago, a husband and wife came in and they were having some problems. And one of the things that she was really upset about was the fact that the husband said, I'm going to get a second wife. And so that really, she was just devastated when he said that. And he turned around and said, you know what, I didn't really mean it. You just got me so frustrated that I wanted to kind of like threaten you. I kind of threaten you into shape. And I said, oh my God, you have no idea how damaging that is. That is not a way to motivate a woman. You want her best, don't sit there and say, I'm going to bring in someone else. It actually makes a woman shut down. She will just feel like, you know, if I'm replaceable, then forget it. Why should I even contribute to this marriage if I'm that replaceable? So sometimes I have heard a lot of men say that they use that as a strategy to kind of wake you up, make you like work harder, make you improve yourself. Now, then there are those cases that they're really serious and they go ahead and do that, and it does really rattle the whole marriage. And that in itself is a long discussion. And, you know, in my Five Pillars of Marriage program, I have dedicated several bonus videos regarding this. I address the men and I address the women and some of the things to look out for. And I think that if you need extensive advice on this, because this doesn't relate to everyone, I would really recommend getting that and listening to it. I also have two bonus videos from two amazing sheikh that I really highly respect. Sheikh Omar Suleiman does a 1-hour exclusive video on the Five Pillars of Marriage, and he talks about the rights and responsibilities of husband and wife, which is so critical. You know, a lot of times we know our rights. Now, you could be like not religious at all, and you know your Islamic right, but you have no idea what your responsibilities are. So he covers that. He addresses the in-law issue, does a wonderful job. It's very comprehensive, 1 hour. And Sheikh Yasser Qadi does an hour exclusive for Five Pillars of Marriage, and he discusses the fiqh of courting and getting married. So, you know, all of that fiqh issue, because that's not my area of specialty. I wanted to have experts within the field, Islamic experts, to give their perspective. Okay, so we have more questions.
How do you cope with family interference?
How do you cope with family interference? Very, very carefully, okay? It's a very tricky situation when you have family getting involved. Number one thing, and I think I've mentioned this before, is do not confront your in-laws. Don't confront them. They could come and tell you, oh, you know, I don't want you to be mad. If you're mad, just come and tell me. I'm your friend. Share with me. Don't do it. Don't do it. I know they mean well, but they won't be able to tolerate it when it actually happens. When you get up the courage and tell your mother-in-law or father-in-law, well, I really don't like the fact that you interfere in my marriage or in my life or in my parenting, that is the day where they're going to get, they will be furious, right? So the best way to handle it is address your spouse and have your spouse deal with, you know, deal with his parents, or you deal with your own parents and try to create that balance between respecting your parents and respecting your spouse. This is one of those relationships. It requires so much wisdom. It requires so much diplomacy. And if you're not careful, you will easily fall into a mess. I see it all the time, where a small little problem, a small little disagreement blows out of proportion, and then divorce is mentioned. Out of the blue. Out of the blue. So you need to make sure that you're very, very careful in dealing with your in-laws. You only share the happiness, you include them in, you know, in all the wonderful milestones and all those occasions. Don't get them involved when you have a problem. I know that that's the first thing people go to, but let me ask you this. How many people do you know? How many of your parents or how many of your in-laws have an ideal relationship? How many of them have the skills and the knowledge in having effective conflict resolution? You know what? From the therapy I've done, I've noticed not many. Not many have that. So you drag someone who's miserable in their marriage, who doesn't have the know-how, and you're telling them, fix my problem. Well, it's not going to happen. So I recommend, you know, getting the professional help, getting the knowledge, gaining that knowledge yourself, inshallah.
Okay, said, what do I do if my husband doesn't believe in getting help?
What do I do if my husband doesn't believe in getting help? A lot of men out there may not believe in getting help. They're getting better, though, because I have a long list of, mashallah, Muslim male clients that are seeking help. But if he doesn't, you get help yourself. You get help yourself, because you can affect the marriage even if you're the only one working on it. As you change yourself, your spouse will react. Okay. So Sorry, we had a little technical problem. I had clients in Saudi Arabia. The husband was a very, very traditional older gentleman and didn't believe in the psychology mumbo jumbo, as he called it, and didn't, you know, he didn't speak, he didn't even speak English. And his wife became very adamant about seeking therapy, with or without him. And so she started working on herself and started changing herself. And after a few months of therapy and after seeing the changes that his wife went through, he decided he's going to do therapy. I had a translator. First time I was doing therapy, you know, with someone in Saudi Arabia, had the translator. The funniest thing, it was really funny, because I would say something that was maybe 2-3 words, and then the translator would speak for like 5 minutes, and I'm thinking, okay, wait, something's missing here. Anyway, he got on board because he saw the changes in his wife, and that happens all the time, where the husband may not believe in it. Now, I had just recently the husband told the wife, like, you know what, now I see the effect of therapy, and I see that it's working. Because once they see it, then they might buy into it, and they may decide to get involved. And even if they don't, you can still, like, many of the people who get our program, they get it by themselves, they watch it on their own, and they make changes. Other questions?
Okay. What do you do if you have an off day, and what do you do if you're not happy in your marriage?
Those are two separate questions? Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. What do you do if you're having an off day? Okay, you balance it out, right? We all have off days. We all have moments where we might be frustrated, we may be really sad, we may be a little bit down, and hopefully you can balance it out. Maybe you can balance it out. Hopefully you have enough emotional deposit where you can afford to have a bad day. Unfortunately, there's some people who make no emotional deposit. All they do is withdraw from the relationship, and it goes into insufficient funds, where it's red alert. People get really uptight when their emotional bank account goes below, right? It goes in the negative. So as long as you are constantly trying to keep it balanced, and you try to actually do more at the times that you are happy and you are stable, then it's fine. It's okay to have an off day. Just make sure that your off day is not every day, okay? Because I see with some of my clients that they really struggle with that, and it's like their spouse has to deal with that anger and that emotional outburst daily, and it becomes really draining. And what if you're not happy? Okay, if you're not happy, I think that it's really important to make sure that you're doing your share to have happiness from within, okay? I mean, that's why, like, let's say pillar one, which is self-development, it's all about working on yourself. You have to work on yourself, attain happiness. Don't expect your spouse to make you happy, because a lot of people will tell me that I want to get married and I want my husband to make me happy. And if you don't have happiness within, then no one can make you happy. So make sure that that unhappiness is not coming from a void from within, right? And also, if you're unhappy in the marriage, be proactive. You know, be proactive. Don't just immediately jump to the conclusion of, I'm going to get a divorce. Take the necessary steps, seek knowledge, apply strategies. This is the science. There's been so much research done. There's been so much research done on having a successful marriage. And if you do a series, if you take a series of steps, you will see the results. And I see this all the time in my practice, where a lot of individuals, when they start applying the right skills, then they find that their marriage improves. Even those who have just totally felt hopeless, I tell them, just give it one last chance. Just give it one more try. And then when they do, then they see, like, oh my God, this really works. And they're surprised. And I'm never surprised, because I know these are like tested and proven skills. And so don't ever give up, and just keep, you know, make an effort. Make an effort. Be proactive. Because what I find the number one cause of a marriage falling apart is that people give up. They become hopeless. They give up. They feel like, what's the point? It's just, they think that it's a lot easier to just to get out of the relationship. You have no idea what getting out of a relationship entails, especially if you have kids. If you have kids and you think divorce is a quick and easy answer, then you're really mistaken. The easiest answer is for both of you to make certain necessary changes, for both of you to be forgiving, for both of you to take action to save the marriage that you have. Because any other marriage you get into is going to have its own series of problems. Okay. Any other questions?
What about the issue of the man being emotionally unavailable and giving the guys all their communication and attention while a wife who's at home all day with kids gets no adult interaction? When the husband comes home after work and masjid, he just wants silence and calm while the wife is longing for that conversation.
Okay, so I'm going to just summarize the question. Basically, the husband not providing any kind of emotional support, not being willing to partake in conversation because he's given all he's had at the workplace, at the masjid, and when he comes home, he just wants silence, where the wife is, you know, has been home with the child, with the children all day, and needs that adult interaction. You know, that seems to be very, very common. And unfortunately, you find that, you know, many men just see the home as a place to like to shut down. They don't want to make that extra effort because they feel like they have given all that they have. And that's why it's so important not to spread yourself too thin. You know, brothers, it's really important to make sure that you don't overexert yourself. If you can cut down on a little bit at work so you have enough energy, you have to provide your spouse with that, at least that conversation. You need to be present emotionally for your spouse. And if you're not, then that person is, they're going to start feeling really alone. And unfortunately, what I see even with the best of sisters, they're practicing, they may get involved with like this emotional infidelity. They might start looking for, and I have had brothers say that, you know what, I blame myself for not being present emotionally for my spouse, and that's why she took that route. You don't want this to happen, right? We don't want all this to get out of hand. So we need to make sure that we're emotionally available. And sister, if you find that your husband is like this and there is no changing him, because I know of men who are like that, and it's not so easy to change. They are set in their ways. So you need to make sure that you have a support group, that you have a source of companionship outside of your marriage. You cannot put all your eggs in one basket. You cannot rely on your husband to be your everything. Now, if he is, that's wonderful, okay? But those are the exceptions. It is an exception when your spouse can be, you know, as your support, your best friend, your, you know, encourage you in the deen. A lot of times you find that people have a lot of shortcomings, and he may be like an excellent provider, excellent father, but he lacks in the emotional stability or in the emotional support department. So you have to kind of overlook, you have to make excuses and try to fulfill your needs through other relationships. Maybe surround yourself, whether it's with friends, with family, get involved with the masjid, with the school, get that emotional support that you need from other than your spouse.
Okay. What about a husband who would not apologize and turns things around on his wife when she tries to explain herself?
Okay.
What to do with men who puts the wife and family in the third place after his friends?
Okay. So what do you do when you complain to your spouse, when you complain to your husband, he turns it around and uses it against you, and when he does not make you feel like a priority, makes you feel like you're number three? After, I guess, work and friends. Okay, so what you can do, repeat the question again at the beginning.
What about a husband who would not apologize.
Oh, that's right. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Yes. What do? When he does not apologize, and you know, a lot of people fall into that, and it's not just men. I find that even when I'm doing therapy, couples counseling, a lot of women do that, that as soon as they're cornered, as soon as you ask them, or he maybe complains about a situation, quickly turns it around. And this is a matter of being defensive. They become very defensive, and they want to attack before they're attacked, or they're like, okay, I'm attacked, so I'm going to attack you. So that's why it's so important not to make it an attack. If you find that your spouse is constantly, you know, they're becoming defensive, then maybe it's the way you're approaching them. Maybe you need to come with a much softer approach. You need to bring it to their attention in a way that doesn't make them feel that you are attacking. Because when the person feels attacked, they're going to be defensive. And as far as not, you know, turning around, it takes a lot of maturity. And you know what? If that person doesn't have the maturity to understand, and I've seen that it sometimes takes the therapist to kind of bring it to their attention, and they can be so resistant to that. I've seen it, and you know, I call them on it that you're being defensive in this situation. You're not taking responsibility. But until they have that maturity to accept it, then you're not going to make a lot of progress.
Okay. I love my husband very much. This is my second marriage. Somehow I keep my feelings inside myself because I don't want to be hurt again.
Okay. All right. So I love my husband very much. Alhamdulillah. Great to hear that. That's rare to hear doing marriage counseling. So you love him and it's your second marriage, but you're afraid to get hurt. Okay, and that's very natural. If you've been, whether you've been betrayed or someone has hurt your feelings, or you have certain things within your past, then it is hard to open up. But I really encourage you to try to cope with whatever that happened, deal with the issues that you had and put it behind you and give this person a chance, right? Because if you're holding back and this person is nothing like your first spouse, maybe it's just not fair for you to be holding back the love, the affection, and all of those things when they, you know, they don't have the same characteristics as your first spouse. So you have to kind of evaluate, you have to deal with some of the past issues, and that's why really those individuals who get a divorce is so critical. You know, go through the marriage program, learn what you did right, what you did wrong, understand what is the best way to have a marriage before you get into another relationship. Because until you kind of clean up the mess, you're not going to be able to start this fresh new life. There's still, you know, residue. There's residue from the first relationship. So address those, and that way you will learn to be able to open up. I have a whole segment on gaining trust and the respect, which is so, if that doesn't come naturally to you, I go into great detail in how to establish that so that you can open up. Because if you're not giving of yourself fully, then that love that you have that's so strong right now, mashallah, may erode.
What if the relationship is good now, but in the past there were a lot of bad things happened and I can't get over it?
Okay, so what if the relationship is good now, but issues have come up in the past and you can't get over it? You really have to learn about forgiveness. I have a free video on my website, halabanani.com. It's a two-part episode on forgiveness, and it's also included in my marriage program that talks about how to overcome it step by step. Okay, it's not something that I can get into right now. I think it was the third video, if I'm not mistaken, of the Ramadan Remedies, all about forgiveness. So you may want to watch that if you haven't, just to learn how to let go, because you got to let go. Because if you are still holding on to that to that emotional baggage of the past, you're not going to be able to move ahead. This question says, what if you never feel loved? What to do? Well, that's a sad situation to be in, and you need to try to find out. Maybe you take the initiative and be proactive and ask about how he likes to feel loved. So for a moment, overlook like your own needs and become interested in showing him the love and fulfilling his needs. And what that does a lot of times is that the person will start feeling, they start getting that satisfaction. They feel like, oh my gosh, my spouse is a source of me feeling good, and they're getting their needs met, they're feeling loved, and then they are more open and receptive to being more loving. Okay, so again, I want you to watch these videos with this mentality of how can I change myself, not just let's say I'm married to a creep and he's a jerk and he doesn't know what to do and she's a maniac or she's crazy. I that is pointless, right? I want you to look within yourself and think, what can I do so that I can, I can be a source of change. I can be a source of improvement in the marriage. So I really pray that we can look for these signs in our marriage. If we have unhealthy signs, we address them. If we have the healthy signs of a marriage, we maintain them and strive towards establishing those healthy signs, inshallah. And I pray that Allah fills our heart with forgiveness, with wisdom, with diplomacy, and makes us love our spouse in a way that is pleasing to him, that we truly use our marriage as a way of pleasing Allah to gain ajr and reward. Jazakallah khairan. Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can sign up for free videos I have. You can go to 5pillarsofmarriage.com, and I have a series of free videos that I've done in encouraging people to having a better relationship. This is my passion. I want you to save your marriage. I want you to thrive in your marriage. And inshallah, that it would be beneficial. I'll see you Tuesday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. Jazakallah khair for tuning in. Assalamu alaikum.